Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for your feet. Put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation.
Thank you. So that's where we're going to pick up today. And just as a reminder, if you have missed a couple weeks, they are all online somewhere, somehow. If you need help finding that, you can, go ahead. This hat's fancy. Come on, Angie. Come on up here and get your picture. Anyway, God's good. I hope y'all have had fun making fun of me, because I've had fun doing this. But Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, I also think it's been helpful in our spiritual walk. That the book of Ephesians, Paul's really talking about two main concepts here. Who we are in Christ, and then therefore how should we live because of that. In the first week, the first piece of the armor we looked at, the first week we looked at just in general spiritual warfare, that we have an enemy who lies to us, who tempts us, who accuses us of things that aren't true about it because of who we are in Christ, and we have to acknowledge that. Then we looked at the belt of truth and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we looked at the breastplate of righteousness, that we do not have a righteousness of our own. There is nothing we can do that is good enough, but it is the righteousness of Christ that protects us. And then last week, then we looked at the gospel of peace, the shoes, that it would provide stability because they would have these little spikes in them. Mine don't have spikes in them. I think you have to pay $9.95 to get the spikes. I settled for the $4.95 because that's what my wife told me I had to do. I don't know why. That was a lie. I don't. Just trying to make myself feel better, I guess. I love you. And then last week, we looked at the shield of faith and how our faith is our first defense. It's what protects us. And sometimes in our faith, that means we have to hunker down and hang on. And then sometimes that means that we have to put our shield over top of somebody else to protect them. And then today, we're going to look at the helmet of salvation. So I'm going to read from just two verses out of the second chapter of Philippians. If you want to turn there, it's on page 954 in the Pew Bible. If you're in your own Bible, Philippians chapter 2, some fitting words that will help us look at not only the helmet, but salvation. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So what good is a helmet? Well, one, it makes you look cool. A helmet protects the most important thing you have. Do you know that? Now, I know you could argue, well, your heart's most important. Yeah, it is, but that's a thicker part of the body. So if a blow was to get in your midsection, you have some natural things to protect you. Doesn't always work, but it is. The skull, however, the head, is a very vulnerable place. If I was to go out into battle with all this on and this shield and still get hit in the head, I'm just going to be a heavy dead body to carry off the... So they put this helmet on. And so this helmet would protect them from the blows that could instantly kill them. And in doing so, it would give them confidence to go into battle. But it would also help them keep their focus, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. The helmet that I'm used to is a football helmet, and I intended to bring mine down and show you, and I forgot. But there were times where we would put all our football gear on and leave our helmet off, and our coach would make us do drills. Well, if you play the position that I played, the odds of you hitting your face or your head on something hard is extremely high. So it's needless to say, when we didn't have our helmets on, I was concerned about messing up my beautiful face that would one day get me a beautiful wife. I mean, you decide for yourself. And so we would be kind of timid in that drill, keeping our heads way back, making sure. But if you put that helmet on, oh man, we'd stick our face right in there. It didn't matter. We loved it then. If you took our helmet away from us, our confidence went down. So John Wesley describes the helmet of salvation this way in his notes. He says, the head is that part which is most carefully to be defended. One stroke here may prove fatal. The armor for this is the hope of salvation. The lowest degree of this hope is confidence that God will work the whole work of faith in us. But the highest is the full assurance of our future glory, added to this experimental knowledge of a pardoning, loved. Armed with this helmet, the hope and of the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross and despised his shame. So the helmet protects, the helmet gives confidence, and the helmet helps people stay focused in a direction. So what does our salvation do? Well, it depends on how you view salvation. And there's several different definitions of salvation, and we've probably grown up in different backgrounds and may view that differently. But I think we could probably all agree that salvation in some way, shape, or form ties back to the saving love and grace of Christ at the cross. I think we can all come back to that as an essential truth to the Christian faith. On the United Methodist Church's website, it says this: what does it mean to be saved and to be assured of your salvation? It is to know that after feeling lost and alone, we've been found by God. It is to know that after feeling worthless, we've been redeemed. It's to experience a reunion with God, others, and the natural world, and our own best selves. It's a healing of the alienation, the estrangement we've experienced. In salvation, we become whole. Salvation happens to us both now and for the future. It is eternal life, that new quality of life in unity with God, which the Gospel of John speaks, a life that begins not at death, but in the present. So this has been a crazy week for me. I flew out of here last week, and I apologize for that, so that I could get there in the amount of time that my professor allowed me to be late. And then we ran into the detour. So I was 2 hours later than I was supposed to be late. And that just spiraled all week. Every day we spent at least 12 or 13 hours, if not more, out in the Lexington community doing things. It was more of a mission trip than it was a class, serving at different places. And I've promised myself and some others as accountability that I would not tell you stories this week, because I'll just ramble, because I've not had time to process all of them. But as I had a chance to do this, I witnessed some of the most amazing people who were living out their Christian faith, who were working out their salvation by loving others as themselves, by taking care of other people. And it really struck me, it really broke my heart on my short drive back to my hotel one night, why we don't see this in every church or in every Christian. And so I asked God to begin opening my eyes to that, and a couple of things became clear, is that maybe we don't fully understand what salvation is. That's why we don't live out our salvation. You see, salvation, it can be described as I was saved at some point, I am still saved, and I will continue to be saved. It's an ongoing process. That's why it's so important for us to work it out. You see, I got married over 10 years ago. I'm still married today on August the 5th, 2018. And because of my charm and good looks, I will continue to be married by the grace of God for a long time. Do you see how the process continues? We don't view friendships and marriages that way, but sometimes we view our salvation as something that's already happened and it's over. It's not over. It continues with us. The scripture today says, to be obedient much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with care, with passion. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's the grace of God. That's the Holy Spirit continuing to work in our lives. I don't want to shock you with some revelation today, but did you know you weren't the full Christian you're capable of being the day you accepted Jesus? Did you know that? Some of us kept on living like a bunch of wild childs for a while after that, but we just knew we accepted Jesus. But the grace of God slowly starts changing who we are. Slowly starts changing our heart for other people. And it's going to continue to change us and sanctify us and help us to grow in grace. So another way that I think why we don't see every Christian living out their salvation, it's because we don't need saving. And I know you have never said that, but I think it's safe to say most of us have probably thought it. That we're pretty good people. I know most of you, and most of you are pretty good people. I know some of you, and we need to talk after church. You can say that when your family's, anyway, you shouldn't say that. Y'all are all good people. Even you, Moss. I mean, you're a pretty good guy. And so I can say to you, you need to be saved. Well, preacher, I've been saved longer than you've been alive. Some of you can say that, right? So what? But in our minds, we don't have to really read our Bibles a whole lot. We don't have to serve those different than us. We don't have to love those that we disagree with because we're just good people. But the truth, the reality of the situation is God had to save us from our own selves. And we see this in our communion liturgy that we're going to recite here shortly. It says, merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. Aren't we called to love God with all we have? But yet we withhold some of our heart. We have failed to be an obedient church, Christian church. There are times that we don't seek his will because we want to do things the way they've always been done. Not here. I mean, I'm being serious. I'm not joking. We've been very good at looking for new ways to reach our community, but y'all have heard that mentality before, right? We have not done your will. We have broken your law. You don't have to open this book turn too many pages before you find something that you've not done right. But we've broken his law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbor. I realized this week with some of the people that I encountered, I loved them as long as I didn't have to have anything to do with them. And then I said, well, Andrew, if that's the way it is, then do you really love them at all? Y'all know what I mean? We love and we care and we feel sorry for people as long as their problems aren't in Welford. If their problems are in another country, we'll pray for them. Man, if something terrible happens, we'll send a couple dollars. But if they were to walk into our backyard, how would we respond? It broke my heart as I thought about these words, that Andrew, you have not loved your neighbor. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. We oftentimes don't want to hear the cry of the needy because that's their problem and not ours. And sometimes we don't want to hear the cry of the needy because we've stretched ourselves so thin we can't do anything to help anyway. But the prayer ends, forgive us, we pray. You see, when we get to the point where we realize how much we needed to be saved, it is easier then for us to live out our salvation. The final reason that I don't think we live out our salvation is that we have lost our focus. And you see, this helmet, as fancy as it is, and as cheap as it is, has this little funny, feathery-looking mohawk. But did you know there was a purpose for this? Who do you think I should be following in battle? But should I be looking for people with blue mohawk? I should be looking for people, what color's mine? With red. That told me those were my people. Those were the people that were going to protect me. Those were the ones I was going to be with. They were on my team. This was kind of their uniform. This is how they separated themselves from the enemy. Because it's all nice. We can tell we all got on red until we get into battle. And then dust starts flying up and we're fighting and we're throwing swords everywhere. And then it's hard to see. So the red hair, the different color, whatever it may be, would help us keep our focus. And as we work out our salvation, as we grow in grace, our focus has to continue to be on two things: loving God more and loving others more. Loving God with all we have and our neighbor as ourselves. That's what Jesus boiled all the law and all the prophets down to. Our liturgy again shares these words: pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ. Now that's beautiful, but here's the beauty and why we must stay focused. So that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Is it safe to say, can we all agree that our world needs a little more love? I don't care where you stand on certain issues. It's irrelevant to me. You can love and serve people you disagree with. But we can all agree the world needs a little more kindness, a little more patience, a little more love. Church, who's going to show it to people if those that proclaim to follow Christ aren't going to? The world's waiting on us to share the love of God. So our focus has to stay on that. We can't just stop and say, they'll take care of it themselves. We're the light in the darkness. We're the hope of salvation for somebody else. You see, this helmet, it protects us. It gives me the confidence to go into battle, and it keeps me focused by knowing who to go follow. Our salvation protected us from the slavery of sin and death, which ultimately ends in darkness, in death, and in hell. It gives us the confidence and the assurance we need to live our lives for Jesus. But our salvation should keep us focused on what the goal truly is. And the way we word it at this church is our goal is to continue to become and make disciples. Our salvation, we didn't get to just choose Jesus as some fire insurance. He said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross every single day. So my prayer for you, my prayer for me, my prayer for anybody who hears this, whether they ever step foot on this property, is that the hope and the assurance of our salvation would help us grow in our love of God and our love of our neighbor. So Emmanuel United Methodist Church, brothers and sisters, suit up. Put on the helmet of salvation. Grow in grace. Be the light that somebody else needs to see. And stand firm in who you are in Christ. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.